today as we come to the table.
I'm going to judge you as a nation, but I know those who love me, and I'm going to spare them. And that's an encouragement to us. You know, one of the themes that we've seen all through the book of Isaiah, God says, I'm going to judge those who are in the nation who are rebelling against me, but I'm going to make it go well for those who love me. For those who serve me, it's going to go well. And you wonder, well, how could that happen? I mean, what if the economy collapses? What if food is scarce? What is all that? Look, all that could happen. We're watching what's happening in our nation. We're not immune to that. I believe we've entered into the last days process, and the Bible warns us some of these things will be happening. But this is such a sweet promise of God here, because in the midst of it, God says, yeah, you may go through some of that, but I'm going to take care of you. Isn't that sweet?
Reading God's Word, where He promises to protect you even amidst His judgment on the world, can really stir up some doubts, can't it? You may be thinking, how can God judge the world without including you in His wrath, right? Just think about how God saved Noah. It's such a striking story, especially when you consider that the entire world was swept away by the flood. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark shares a comforting reminder that God's grace and protection are always with His children, even if you face some tough times ahead. Just remember that a miraculous solution is on the way from above to guide you through. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Chapter 65, we'll jump right in. Again, this is, again, God now looking, you know, it's interesting. When you look at the book of Isaiah, we talked about it before. It's called a couple of different things. It really is called a Bible within a Bible. It has 66 chapters, just like the 66 books of the Bible. And it's actually also called, so it kind of mirrors the Bible in a lot of ways. So it's kind of like coming here to kind of a capper on this Bible within the Bible. But it also is called the fifth gospel. And that is preaching, there's so much of the Messiah in Isaiah that it's referred to by theologians as the fifth gospel. And what we're going to see is kind of almost this wrapping up of God's story, if you will, His story, history. And that is where He talks now about in the last days, the Gentiles coming in mass. The Gentiles have always been welcome to come into the kingdom. But now we're going to see in chapter 65, He focuses in as we get toward the end of this Bible within the Bible, looking at Gentiles just like we have been coming in now at the end over the last couple of thousand years in mass. And then He'll go into the promise of the millennial kingdom and the new heaven and the new earth. And I'll try to maybe break that up a little bit further. There's a lot of confusion about the millennial kingdom and the new heaven and the new earth. I'll try to lay that out for you. It takes a lot of times to hear it, to really get it driven in your brain. But the more you hear it, the more you will. And a lot of people get confused about what heaven is. And we're going to run into some things where you go, wait a minute, how could this be? I thought this was heaven and that's heaven. And so I'll try to break all this up for you in a very understandable and simple way so you know what's going to be happening in the future and I believe beginning very soon. But chapter 65, verse 1, notice what the Lord says. He says, I was sought by those who did not ask for me, and I was found by those who did not seek me. That is, the Jews were seeking him. They were supposed to be seeking him. They quit seeking him. He's been rebuking them for not seeking him. And he says there was a whole new group of people that were non-Jews that started seeking me. They started coming after me. The Gentiles wanted me, but you didn't. I called you as my chosen. Now the Gentiles came after me. And again, God sees us as his kids just as much, if you will. The signification of being chosen is God chose them to bring the Messiah into the world. And he says, look, you were a special group of people. I chose to bring the Messiah in. And not that I don't want others to come in, but you above all people should have been seeking me first. And you weren't seeking me first. You kind of just let me go to the wayside. And now the Gentiles are calling out to me saying, hey, I want to be a part of Israel's God. I want to know you. He says, they're the ones after me. And I said to them, well, here I am. Here I am. You want me? Here I am. To a nation that was not called by my name. I've stretched out my hands. Now, that's the Gentiles. Now he talks about to them in verse 2. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people. That is you. I reached out to you over and over and you kept rebelling against me. who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, rather than mine. A people, notice this, who provoke me to anger. You see that all through the scripture. It's not just that you make me angry, but you provoke me. It's like you're kind of get in my face. It's kind of like I look at our nation today, and look, God understands that we're sinners. He knows we're fallen, and God gives grace to a sinful nation and sinful people to a point. It gives us time to repent. And then if we don't, God has to take action. But there's a difference in living in sin and being ignorant and knowing the truth and provoking God. And what concerns me about where we are as a nation today, I think we've crossed over into just being an ignorant people when we were unsaved. Many of us being ignorant in our unsaved state, not a name calling, but simply a classification of not knowing is what ignorant means. We've crossed over into, you know what? I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I don't care. I don't care what your word says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm doing this. And what are you going to do about it? Matter of fact, we want to do away with you. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our schools. We don't want you anywhere. And God says, you're provoking me. It's one thing to kind of be messing with a wild animal that's really large and kind of, whatever. It's another thing to provoke it to where it could strike at any moment. He says, so you're provoking me to anger. And look at this, continually and to my face. It's not like some minor thing. Again, I see when I look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, I really see a nation that in large part is where we are as a nation today. And that's concerning to me. Now, God gave them a little bit more time to repent before he judged them. Whenever you see a nation going down this path and they don't repent, judgment is coming at some point. That's a warning to us as well as it should have been to them. Notice they sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick. Now, again, you're going to see a lot of terminology here that may seem foreign to you, but this is how they used to worship their false gods, their pagan gods. They would have their gardens where they would have these, worshiping trees and worshiping creation. We talked about that, worshiping their idols in those gardens where they would put their idol in the garden or whatever the case might be. They would have sexual rituals in the gardens where they put up, idols of Ashtoreth and all that, which was supposedly the goddess of sex and all that. So they sacrifice in gardens. They burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves. Again, we do a lot of that with seance type stuff today, and spend the night in the tombs. I mean, again, you see a lot of parallels, the same spirit behind what a lot of people do, even today in witchcraft and other things. Who eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. Now, for you, there's nothing wrong with swine's flesh. How do we know that? Now, again, God forbid the Jews to do that. It was a couple of reasons. One is swine was symbolic of an unclean animal, and God wanted them to represent cleanness before God. But again, one of the things we know about swine now, about pigs or a ham or whatever, is that they didn't know at that time. Certainly they found out and they did know, but we now know there's a lot of temperature. You got to cook it to a certain temperature and a certain amount, and there's certain illnesses that can be born through the pigs and things like that. So God forbid it. There's a number of reasons, spiritual and practical. But they were just throwing away God's word. The essence is not, the idea is not so much that it was, they were eating ham. He told Peter later on, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. You're free to eat everything now. The point was, you're disobeying me. You're disobeying me in the diet that I gave you. You're disobeying me in every aspect of what I've asked you to do. And so it just shows their heart of disobedience. Notice they have the broth of abominable things in their vessels. That is unclean animals. They're making, stews and soups out of them. And look what they say. While they're doing all this abomination before God, this is what they say. And this just describes the Pharisees to a T, and actually some people today, who say, keep to yourself and do not come near me, for I'm holier than you. In other words, I'm doing all these things that are wrong. God says, you're doing all these things that are wrong, and you're pretending you're the one that's holy. You're judging everyone else when you are yourself are doing all these wicked and evil things. He says, these are smoke in my nostrils and a fire that burns all the day. That's a pretty graphic picture of anger, isn't it? So mad that you got smoke coming out of your nostrils. He says, behold, it is written before me, and I will keep silence. I will not keep silence, but I will repay. So don't think you're going to get away with anything. I'm just gracious. Even repay into their bosom, that is to your very heart, you're going to feel my judgment if you don't repent. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Again, these areas of pagan worship. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom or into their heart. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, well, don't destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so I will do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. In other words, I'm going to bring judgment on you as a nation if you don't repent. But there's some good people in there. And I don't mean good in the biblical sense. We know that no one is good, but godly in the sense of those that have turned over themselves over to the Lord. What he's saying is, I'm going to judge you as a nation, but I know those who love me, and I'm going to spare them. And that's an encouragement to us. You know, one of the themes that we've seen all through the book of Isaiah, God says, I'm going to judge those who are in the nation who are rebelling against me, but I'm going to make it go well for those who love me. For those who serve me, it's going to go well. And you wonder, well, how could that happen? I mean, what if the economy collapses? What if food is scarce? What is all that? Look, all that could happen. We're watching what's happening in our nation. We're not immune to that. I believe we've entered into the last days process, and the Bible warns us some of these things will be happening. But this is such a sweet promise of God here, because in the midst of it, God says, yeah, you may go through some of that, but I'm going to take care of you. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that a sweet promise? I go back to the New Testament where he said the same thing to each of you in this room. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. What things? He'd been talking about food, clothing, shelter. And so he gives a promise to the church. If you seek me first, see, the problem is a lot of believers don't seek the Lord first. Well, I'm a Christian. That's not what he said. He didn't say, if you're a Christian, I'll make sure you're supplied for. He said, if you put me first, I'll make sure you have shelter, food, and clothing. And what will happen is when you go in really hard times where there's a lack of food or a lack of shelter or lack of clothing or whatever's happening in the world, it drives the Christian to get serious and get their priorities in order, and then God is faithful to take care of them. Look, I think it's wise. There's wisdom and a principle in Scripture. If you see danger coming, prepare for it, okay? We've talked about this in the past. You know, having a little bit of extra food, a little bit of extra water, a little bit of extra gasoline, whatever, batteries, generators. There's nothing wrong in that. That's called wisdom. God warned Joseph, and he started filling up the silos. So there's nothing wrong in that. But here's what God says. Even if the silos are empty, and even as everything runs dry, even if you've prepared and everything runs out, he says, I'm still going to take care of you. Because a lot of people panic. What if I don't have enough supply? What if this runs out? What if that and all that? It's hard to put away enough supply for years of whatever your need might be. I think wisdom would be get what you think you need to, that you can do, and then trust God. And we see that principle all through Scripture, and he's doing the same thing here. He's saying, look, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm going to watch after you. It's going to go well with you. I see the good fruit that's in the midst of bad fruit in America. God sees the believers. He sees that those of you that love him. He knows that. He recognizes you. He loves you, and he's very aware of what's happening. That's the word that Isaiah is giving here to the children of Israel. He says, I recognize that. I'm not going to destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. Notice this, my elect shall inherit. He goes, I'm promising that the Jews will inherit the land I've given them, the land of Israel. We've talked about this before. God gave it to the Jews, and they're going to continue to inhabit it. God, they're not going to leave Israel again. The Bible says now that they're there, they'll be there till the Lord comes back, is what the Bible says. Nobody's going to wipe them out. And then they're going to go right into the 1,000-year reign, and they'll have even more territory and the full Israel that God designed for them to have. So that's the first point to make there. But notice also, and I want to point these things out to you because sometimes people, they don't understand God's promise to the nation. They say that God's through with Israel, or that they give different definitions. Notice who he calls Israel right here. Who does he call Israel? The Jews. My elect. Again, oftentimes you hear that, no, we're the elect and the Gentiles are the elect. Certainly we are, but he also calls the Jews the elect. So the reality is anyone who knows and loves God is, guess what? The elect. So you can't separate out the elect from the Jews and the Gentiles. The elect is simply a believer, someone that is in Christ. And God refers to the Jews all through the Old Testament as the elect. He does it here. He'll do it again in a moment. And we've seen that in the past in Isaiah. He says, my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon, that is a region there toward the coast in southern Israel. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down. For my people who have sought me, and that is those who have sought me, I'm going to give you a place of rest. And this is something I think that even in the midst of a nation in turmoil, you should be walking in a place of rest. Now hear me, listen. If you're not walking in a place of rest, you don't have your heart in line with the Lord the way it should be. I'm not saying you're in sin. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying if you're not walking in a place of rest tonight, if you're disturbed right now, you're anxious, you don't have peace, then you're not where you need to be with God. I encourage you, if that's where you are, run to the Lord and start spending time in his word and in prayer until that comes. And say, God, you've promised peace. You've promised all this. I don't have it. I'm worried there may not be gasoline tomorrow. I'm worried there may not be food tomorrow. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Look, we're human. You're going to have concerns. But in the midst of all of it, God says, if you love me, know that I love you, and you'll have rest in that. I watch what's happening in the world today, and I hate it just as much as you guys do. But I have peace. I have rest in my heart, I, you know, and I don't say that. It's not something like, you know, that one is more spiritual than another. I think it's simply keeping our focus on the Lord, staying in the Word, staying in prayer, receiving that peace from God, receiving that grace. And if you don't have it, again, ask God to give it to you tonight. Say, God, give me that peace. Give me that rest. Let me receive that. And I think a lot of that is remembering that no matter what happens to us, guys, we win forever and ever and ever. I mean, we are such a close step away from the kingdom. And no matter how bad it gets, and no matter how many of us, we talk about, you hear somebody saying, well, they said so-and-so is about to die or going to die or whatever. And there's certainly compassion and heart for all that. But in reality, we're all going to die. Everyone dies. It just depends on when. And yet for the believer, we never really die at all, do we? We simply move. We leave these bodies and move into the next body. And I don't know what that's going to be like, but you will never taste the sting of death. You may taste the sting of pain. We're human. We have nerve endings. But you'll never taste the sting of death because the Lord said he's removed it. He paid for it on the cross. So whatever the sting of death was, you're never going to experience that. Man, that right there to me is great news. I don't know what that means, but I'm glad I don't have to find out. So the promise is to us that God is going to be faithful to do that. He's going to give us a place of peace and rest if we trust him in the midst of a nation that's in turmoil. He says, but you are those who have forsaken the Lord. Now he changes gears here. For those who have forsaken the Lord, here's what's going to happen. You forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for Gad and furnish a drink offering for many. Now, Gad and many, Gad is one of the tribes of Israel, but that's not what he's referring to here. The word Gad literally was a pagan deity. It does mean troop, which is what it meant when one of the tribes was given that name. But here's referring to the god of Gad, which was a pagan deity, and the god of many, which is also a pagan deity or the god of destiny. So one was a god of fortune, one was a god of destiny. He says, you're putting your trust in them. Therefore, I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down. So you're going to be to the slaughter. You're going to die. Because when I called, you did not answer. Now, notice what he says. He says, it's not that I didn't call you. I did call you. I reached out to you, but you didn't answer me. You wouldn't pay attention. How many people in our nation today is God calling out to right now, and they're simply ignoring him? You wonder, what is it going to take to get people to call out to God? And God is faithful to turn up the heat until we do. He'll do that in the believer's life. He'll gradually turn the heat up until we begin to cry out to God. And then he'll turn up the heat in the unbeliever's life so they will as well. But he says, I'm calling, but you refuse to answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear, but you did evil before my eyes. You continued on living in your evil, and you chose that in which I do not delight. Therefore, now remember, therefore is always is because of what's been before it. If it's therefore, you have to see what it's there for. We always say that, but it's true. He says, because all these things have happened between those who serve me and those who don't serve me, here's going to be the difference when I bring my judgment. And guys, take this to heart. Okay, even as we enter into some crazy times. And by the way, how many of you think we probably have some crazy surprises coming up over the next couple of months? I think we have some crazy man-made surprises coming up over the next couple of months because it's election time. And so it even has a term, they call it the October surprise, right? And of course, I think the stakes are getting so high now, you can expect all kinds of things. But it's not just man doing it. We're now, I believe, in the last throes before the Lord comes back to take his church and begin his kingdom here on earth. You're going to see a lot of demonic stuff going on as well. So it's not just men playing politics. If that's all it was, at this point, if that's all it was, I would be thankful. But it's more and more obviously demonic as we head into the last days. And you're going to see more and more, I think, demonic intervention. The Bible says that when Satan realizes his time is short, he's going to turn the heat up. And the Bible also says God's going to allow him to do that. But now when God allows him to, here's the promise we have as believers. God is still going to protect us. And God is still going to provide for us. And God is still going to take care of us. So take heart, flock of God. Right? Now he reminds us, look right here. He shows the difference. Look at this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. If we see hard times in America, there will be hunger. But he says, my people, I'm going to make sure they have food. Now, it may not be the diet we're used to, grabbing any snack we want anytime and eating it tenfold, but God's going to take care of us. And I think, look, if we enter into some of these hard times before the rapture, I know our flesh, that is the part of us that, apart from the spirit, we're not going to necessarily like that idea or like it when we enter into it. But here's what's going to happen. Once you cross over that threshold of realizing, you know what, it's not all about this flesh, it's about the spirit, and I've got food and I've got clothing and God's going to take care of me, there's a sweet peace that comes and a joy. If Satan has fear in our lives, he can control us. When fear is gone, nobody can stop you. It's like that's why Paul was so effective in his ministry. He didn't fear anything. What are you going to do? Kill me? I win. So when you get to that place where death is not your enemy and it's simply a doorway, you say, well, I hadn't planned on walking through that door right now, but I knew I'd walk through that door at some point. And when I walk through that door, I keep going. I keep going. And everybody I know is going to join me soon through that same door. And then we're all just going to be laughing and celebrating in the kingdom really soon. So regardless of how bad it seems down here, it's just we have to keep in mind the glory and the victory that waits ahead of us. This is not something we're making up to encourage ourselves. This is reality. And so rejoice in that. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, joy in the heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for grief of spirit. Can you imagine being completely hopeless? People that are hoping in this world right now, what is there really to hang on to? You think about the unbeliever today, and I think, what is there really to hang on to? What are you hoping for in this world? I don't see how anybody apart from Christians has any hope. I even think about these guys that, you know, that think they can, you know, they have all this money and they're going to run to their islands and do all this stuff, whatever. What kind of hope do they have? They're still growing old and everything's breaking and they're getting, you know, it's like, what hope do they have? I mean, there's no hope except in Jesus Christ. He says, you shall leave your name as a curse to my chosen. That is, they're going to see we as believers are going to see the people that don't know God as a curse. For the Lord will slay you and call his servants by another name. Now, remember we talked about God's going to give us all a new name. What a sweet day that's going to be. I can't wait. So that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, amen, and because they are hidden from our eyes. And by the way, listen, the Bible says over and over, when we enter into that eternal state with God, all the former things will be forgotten. Some of you may be thinking, what is it going to be like if I go to heaven and my loved ones don't get there? You're not going to remember that. You're not going to be sorrowful about that. All the former things will be forgotten. Now, how that's going to happen, I don't know. Will it be a total erasing of the past and any kind of thing? Or will it simply be the way God makes our brain work at that time in the new spiritual body to where it won't be sorrowful? All I know is this, it won't be sorrowful. You're not going to be in heaven going forever. I wish they'd have gotten in. Why didn't they? Yeah, whatever. That's not going to be what it's like. It's going to be rejoicing and saying, God, everything you did was right. And you know, again, remember how limited our view is. Right now in this earth, guys, your family are those that are your bloodline or a family that you've been maybe adopted into. That's your family. And it's great. What a blessing to have that family. But this is a temporary blip of eternity. That's not your real family. Does everybody grasp that in heart? Your real family is through the blood of Jesus Christ's family. That's your real family. The people in this room right now that know Jesus Christ and you know Jesus Christ, that's your real blood family for eternity through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Father and our brother and our Savior and everything that he is to us. The earthly family is simply temporary down here. And while I'm thankful for it and praise God for it and rejoice in it, which is great, it's not your eternal family.
Thank you for joining us today for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is coming to you from Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. As Pastor Mark proceeds in his series on the book of Isaiah, we eventually see that Isaiah's words of warning go unheeded. Despite his best efforts, the people of Israel and Judah continue to rebel against God, and they open up attacks from the enemies in Assyria and Babylon. If this were any other nation, this would likely have been the end of their story, but not for Israel. See, as God's chosen people, the Lord supernaturally protected the Israelites, even in their rebellion and exile. We are given hope, even in moments of despair, because we know that the Lord will eventually make a way for all to come home. While we may have sinned in the past, the Lord gives us a clean slate and allows us the opportunity to make the right choices in the future. We're never going to be able to serve Him perfectly, but we can strive to serve Him as best we can every single day. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to serve God, you can visit our website at thewaymedia.net. While you're there, click on the Come to the Table link and then click on Questions and Comments so that you can get connected with us. You can also find more studies from Pastor Mark on various books of the Bible to help guide you in your own studies through God's Word. Well, we're just about out of time for today's program. Pastor Mark is going to continue his series on the book of Isaiah next time. So we hope you'll join us once again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.